Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Huge Steeler news in a few moments.
Excellent.
And we'll see.
They're going to play this year again, I hope.
I mean, we'll find out what Captain Panic thinks here in a moment.
Okay. I got some huge baseball news, too. All right,
they're
not really
rough in
huge.
The lineup.
It's not really huge. I just wanted to be part of the program.
Darren Ruff's in the lineup tonight?
Well, he's been in the lineup quite a bit, as a matter of fact. Although, Ruben Amaro Jr. says they do not have intentions of releasing Ryan Howard at the end of the season. He doesn't know how that rumor got started.
Yeah.
Well, somebody from your office thinks you are.
There was an article in one of the Philadelphia papers named Ruben as probably the most disliked person in the city of Philadelphia. Gee, I wonder why.
Not just in the city of Philadelphia.
Oh, it could be like all of them.
I think it extends to the northeastern part of the state as well.
Oh, it sure does.
What beating out people in government? All right, let's see that.
There's a toss-up.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imker Brews, domestics, soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Without a doubt, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend and do it now. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The Pittsburgh Steelers have always negotiated a contract with their starting quarterback when that starting quarterback has 2 years remaining on their deal. They will not be doing that with Ben Roethlisberger. Negotiations are suspended with Roethlisberger until next year when he'll have 1 year remaining on his contract.
How old will he be next year? Like 34, 35?
He's 32 right now.
Okay, 33 next year.
Yep. So that is the story there. There is a reason behind it.
Can I take a guess at what the reason is?
No.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Of course you can't like this show anymore. Of course you can.
My guess is they want to see how well he holds up after this year to see what kind of condition he's in for a contract that would be longer to retire him as a Steeler.
No. That's not it. To be honest
with
you, I'm not
joking. Wizard.
No, that's not the reason why. I know what the reason is.
Okay, I'm listening intently.
The Steelers at the moment have $6.47 million in cap. They're underneath the cap. They have a heavy cap year right now, including Lamar Woodley, who's not even on the roster. All right, next year, the cap space under the new with more TV money automatically goes up $10.5 million. They will have exponentially more room to negotiate a contract befitting of him being the franchise quarterback.
That's the reason. Was much more fun than yours.
I know, but Steve, yours makes sense.
Why does it have to make sense? Why can't it just be more entertaining?
Well, there's that side of it, but that...
I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't mean to give the real answer.
Yes, I mean that.
I apologize for telling the reason why.
You could have shaded it a little bit for Kevin, but no, that just makes absolute sense when you know the money ball aspects of the collective bargaining agreement and what revenue is available. And it has nothing to do with his health. It has everything to do with next year being a better year to negotiate a big deal.
It's a better year for the Steelers, too. More cap space. And plus, when you lose the Woodley contract, you've got more room to operate. Mm-hmm. That allows us now to bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, let's start with what we just talked about with Ben Roethlisberger. In reality, is it really about cap space?
You know, that's an interesting question. I do take this at face value, Steve. I do think that the discussions probably were legitimate and that there probably is good faith on both ends. The money will be free at the end of the season, or I guess whenever the year ends. They will have whenever the NFL calendar year ends, they'll have a lot more money next year, next offseason. And, maybe that's what they want to know exactly, what the number is before they start to put together a contract for Roethlisberger. My gut feeling on this is that that's probably what they've addressed and that they probably have told him that, once they know what the number is and exactly what kind of space they're going to have, they'll put something together. I don't see him going anywhere. I don't see this being an issue. But you're right. They have always done this, not just with their quarterbacks, but also with their head coaches. Mm-hmm. Putting that extension in place 2 years before the contract is up. So this is a little bit different. But again, we're talking about, a very, very different age. Even as each year goes by, the whole salary cap thing sort of changes and fluctuates so much. So, I am at this point willing to take that at face value and think that that's, that's what the situation is.
Numerically, the Steelers are about $6.47 million cap right now. And that next year, each club is going to get about $10.5 million more in cap space to work with. So logistically, it seems logical on the surface.
And they're also on the hook for a good bit of Lamar Woodley's salary right now. They're paying some dead money to Woodley this year that will be off the books next year as well. So, again, they do know what those numbers are going to be, or they at least have a reasonable expectation for what they're going to be. But, just like you said, maybe the logical move here is that they just want to actually have that money, at their fingertips before they start spending it.
I've told people here that if this were the starting running back for the St. Louis Rams, people would be in Steeler country would be, wow, only two games? But because it's Ray Rice and the Ravens, the opinion is stronger in part because of Ben Roethlisberger. What's been the reaction down there?
Well, it's been interesting. I think you're exactly right. I think because of the Roethlisberger situation, but boy, it's tough to balance which situation was worse. We don't know all the details with Roethlisberger's situation. We did see video of Rice's situation. I'll also liken this even more than Roethlisberger. James Harrison had an incident several years ago where he was accused of and actually apologized. It wasn't his wife, but it was his girlfriend and the mother of his child. There was an incident at their home where he broke into a bathroom and again, he admitted this. He admitted to striking her, and it was a pretty ugly situation. Again, because charges were dropped on her end, there was no suspension for James Harrison. And in fact, in a statement that he'd like to regret, Dan Rooney defended James Harrison by talking about circumstances that led to the incident. It was a pretty ugly situation. And like I said, probably something Dan Rooney would like to forget, or at least would like perhaps regrets. Now, the Steelers have been through this before. This is not an organization that is by any means innocent of having players who have crossed the line of the law. And I guess the whole NFL falls under that category, unfortunately, or maybe all of professional sports nowadays. But you're right. Because it's the Ravens, people are a little bit upset. But I don't know where, I'm not sure what moral ground Steelers fans and certainly the Steelers organization has to stand on as far as that goes.
Right. It is a league that has... counts women among its fan base. It is a league that takes the month of October and you name the pink item they wear it, headbands, shoes, towels, whatever. Does it surprise you the suspension? I know she appealed to Goodell herself, Janae Palmer, but does it surprise you in a league that has been trying to be far more conscious of making sure that women are a part of the fan base that they did this?
Steve, I wish it surprised me, but I can't say that it does. And, talking about her appealing and so forth and defending, Ray Rice, that sadly is all part of cycle of this, of domestic abuse. And that's what happened with James Harrison, in what I just talked about. So I wish it surprised me. It should surprise me, but it really doesn't, and it's a sad commentary on not big, but maybe on the culture that surrounds sports. I guess that this sort of thing you know, gets, I don't want to say excused, but gets treated differently than other things. And I know a lot of the media are talking about the, you know, the fact that there are players who receive game suspensions for, you know, for illegal use of marijuana, which in some states, as you know, is becoming decriminalized or even legalized.
Right.
Yet, you know, beating a woman results in half of that. So it's right. It's a sad commentary, and you know, who knows what will change. Some people smarter than me have to figure that out.
Well, you know, part of that too is people have to realize that any drug or substance abuse policy abuse is actually negotiated in the union contract. So
right.
It's already that's how it's set. This is not. Let's talk about the Steeler camp in general. Since they get underway, tell us a little bit about what you're looking to see in Steeler camp that would give you more hope for a Steeler season.
You know, I think the offense is in pretty good shape, honestly. I think they've done a very good job of addressing what they needed to offensively. They lost a couple of wide receivers. In fact, they lost over 100 catches with the departures of Emmanuel Sanders Pottery in free agency. But I think they've done a pretty good job of addressing those needs, and I think that wide receiver competition will be interesting to watch. To answer your question more specifically, you know, the defensive line and the defensive secondary, specifically the cornerbacks, and those two things go hand in hand. You know, Ike Taylor, even though he's aging and even though he declined quite a bit last year, he'll be better if the pass rush is better. And the same with Cortez Allen, who I think is a guy really to watch. I think he's on the verge of what could be a breakout season. I think the Steelers need him, Cortez Allen, to have a breakout. I think Ike Taylor, Cortez Allen, their play early on, I think is going to be very interesting. And I think the defensive line, where they lost a lot of players as well, and I don't know that they've done as much to replace those guys. Brett Kiesel's not here. Ziggy Hood is gone, and as much as people complained about Ziggy Hood started a bunch of games over the past couple of years, and they didn't really replace him. You know, Stephon Tuitt came in. He's a rookie. We'll see what he can do. But they lost three defensive linemen. Al Woods was part of that rotation as well. And, you know, they didn't replace them quite as well, I think, as they did, you know, the receivers. So to me, defensive line and the cornerback, biggest issues of those positions are solid, Steve. I think that this could be a team that could contend for the division.
The next part of this is, you talk about the defense, back to offense for one moment. What about the Gilbert Adams battle at that tackle spot? For Adams, is this basically a last stand season for him?
I think it probably is. Yeah, you know, I think it probably is. He's had flashes, but they've been way too far and few between. And, you know, Gilbert has not been that much better, frankly, but he's been a lot more consistent. And, you know, Adams has had issues, not even with just getting beat, but how he responds to that. You know, Mike Munchak talked about, you know, listen, offensive tackles get beat for sacks. That happens in this league, but you can't let one sack affect the next 5, 6, 7 snaps. And that's where Adams has really killed him. And that's where I think he's really sabotaged his own career. So I think it is kind of a do-or-die thing for him. I also think that not only Munchak, but Mike Tomlin will be ready and willing to rotate those tackles. I don't necessarily think either one of those two guys, and I'll also include Kelvin Beachum in this, who right now is a left tackle, I don't think they're married to those guys playing left or right tackle specifically. I think those three guys could be moving parts as the season goes on.
Pirates now for a moment. First of all, an update on Gerrit Cole.
The last update is that he pitched better than expected, felt better than expected after a simulated game. I don't know exactly what simulated games are. I know they change those things, and you know, they're pitching with screens behind them, screens in front of them, and you know, simulated batters and so forth. They'll face one batter for a bunch of pitches. But regardless, he threw 70 pitches, felt pretty good. They're not rushing anything. Cole himself said that even if it takes a little bit longer than expected, you know, he can't jump past his team a game because he's rusty. I think he fully wants to come back, ready to pitch in a pennant race, which, quite frankly, that's where they are. So he can be the starter, Steve, that they acquire, you know, at the trade deadline if he can come back healthy.
Is A.J. Burnett still a possibility, at least some semblance of discussion, whether it's front burner or back burner?
Yeah, I think he's still a possibility. I don't know that there's an urgency. I don't think that there are going to get into any kind of a battle, you know, against other teams, any kind of a bidding war for that. The teams that they're facing, for the most part, have their own injury issues, and they've got to, you know, I think teams like the Cardinals and the Reds, I'm not so sure about Milwaukee, but certainly those two teams have some issues that they need to address, and I think that maybe has taken some urgency away from the Pirates' need to acquire. I think they probably want to acquire a relief pitcher, a bullpen piece,
right?
And I think they can do that, you know, maybe after the trade deadline as well.
Ah, okay, that's very interesting. I don't see them going after a bat though. I see bullpen, and it's not a Justin Morneau, Marlon Byrd kind of year. I think they've got enough offense.
You know, surprisingly enough, I tend to agree with you. You know, let me also say, I don't think that they. I'm not saying they couldn't use another arm. I'm not saying Burnett couldn't help them. I just don't think they're willing to. I don't think they feel the same sense of urgency that they did last year with a dire need to acquire somebody. And I think you're right about the bats. You know, I still think they've got a hole at first base right now.
Yes.
Jordy Mercer has been hitting at shortstop, so I don't know how long that can continue, but he's been hitting pretty well. And frankly, one of their biggest holes might be at third base, which is an area they thought they had filled a couple of years ago with Pedro Alvarez. Heck, as recently as last year, they thought that was no longer a question.
I still maintain you flip him to first base and you play Jay Hay over there. But, you know, that's just me on the outside looking in. Clint Hurdle's a much smarter baseball guy than I am.
I don't think that's a bad, you know that's a bad way to you know to go about it. I mean, you're asking one guy to change positions. They've been talking about Pedro changing positions since he was drafted. I mean, wow. that was a discussion the day of the draft. He may wind up playing first base in the major leagues even before he was a Pirate, and before he's got this thing in his head now where he has such a tough time making a routine throw from third base to first base. Any ball he has time with, Steve, he uncorks him over the first baseman's head. It's almost like Steve Sachs at the end of his career.
Yep, exactly right. I mean, look, Steve Blass knows from the mound in, it can happen at any position. Wow.
Yeah. No. You know, very true. And it's mind boggling. It can't be physical. It's got to be a mental thing at this point. And I think he's costing. You know, his manager has lost a lot of confidence in him. And I think that could be an issue down the stretch for the Pirates.
Yeah, the fans aren't exactly swaggering in either. So,
very good point. Very good point. Yeah, they've never taken to Pedro very well anyway. But when you're leading the league in home runs and at least playing decent third base, it's a little bit different than when you're making an error a game and struggling at the plate the way he is.
I'd have him taking ground ball to ground ball and getting working his footwork at first base because I think he could be a long-term guy at a power position in the game if he can somehow get that part down. But that's just me from the outside looking in. Tony, as always, thanks so much and always appreciate it, my friend.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.
That is Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin Hurd checks in on the logic of the answers in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, microbrews, domestics, snacks, soft drinks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar. We are big pickle bar fans. Love the barrel pickles are this guy's favorite, without a doubt.
I line up with the garlic myself.
Well, I know I've got to speak at Northumberland on the 18th of August, and I will be making a stop at Brewer's Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, yes.
As someone that has to introduce you and stand beside you during that, please don't go to the garlic ones right away.
Yeah, save those for the end.
Wow, I may just garlic right off the top.
You know, there's nothing, nothing like a good domestic and a garlic pickle.
Oh. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin was on the mark this morning and evidently was flooded with email.
Well, there was no negative email, so
that's a good
at
thing.
Least to this point.
See?
Now when somebody
Way to go, bud.
Yeah,
way to go. It's good.
Your kid wasn't up early enough to send the emails in.
Well, the thing is, it's now on YouTube, so you can actually watch it at the WKOK YouTube channel. So the emails may come in over the weekend.
They'll be stacking up. Steve, a couple thoughts on your interview with Tony DeFazio and the Pirates. I'm a little worried about the hitting situation right now because of the unknown factor with Sterling Marte, who's on the concussion disabled list. And he started off not being on it. He's now on it. And I just get a bad feeling about that. And they were going to really rely on that bat that he has.
Yeah. He got Adam Ottavino hit him in the head with a pitch against in the Colorado game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awful for Marte. I felt bad for Adam. I mean, and we know Adam here because Adam pitched. Adam's the first ever number one draft choice to ever pitch for the State College Spikes. He was originally a St. Louis Cardinal, and it was an 0-2 pitch, and he got him right in the helmet. And Marte stayed in there, but you kept saying to yourself, "This is a problem."
Yeah.
Look, you give him 15 days. Okay. Let him go through the baseline concussion test. Then let him go. The other part, though, is the physical exertion test, which is actually in a lot of ways tougher than the baseline test. And if he gets through that without headaches and so forth, I mean, you're talking about a guy that'd probably be out a total of 2 weeks. You get him back, I think you'll be fine for the moment. You can play Josh Harrison in the outfield. That's the versatility, and you know, having a guy like that who can do that. Eventually, though, Ike Davis has been a little better, but not much, but a little better. Pedro Alvarez is having all sorts of problems throwing the ball from third base to second base.
Yeah. He leads the major leagues in throwing errors, and there's nobody in second place.
I mean, I would have him take ground ball after ball at first base and have him work on his footwork there, because when Marte comes back, you can flip Harrison down to third base, and you can flip Alvarez over to first, and you might be just fine by doing that as a ball club. Jordy Mercer is certainly another former State College Spike, certainly is hitting the ball well at shortstop. You know, his range at shortstop is okay. He's an okay defensive shortstop, but his calling card's always been offense, and he is now providing some offense. If they can get Gerrit Cole back, Gerrit Cole will be as meaningful a guy to get back as if you acquired a big-time pitcher in a trade.
And, you know, Lariano just came back, and he looked real sharp. So the pitching looks solid. And here's something. I was on last night looking at the upcoming Pirates schedule for August.
Yes, right.
They play 28 games in August, 17 at home. And they have a really fine record at home at PNC Park. So that could bode well as the dog days of August, Kevin's favorite month of the year for sports, comes into play.
The Orioles and the Cardinals, by the way, because the Cardinals and the Orioles both have holes at catcher because of injuries. and which is unfortunately Matt Wieters with the rotator cuff and Yadier Molina with the thumb surgery are out. They're both looking to the Twins' Kurt Suzuki right now, who's in the game. They're looking at him. Matt Kemp might be moved by the Dodgers. The Mets are looking to try and acquire Troy Tulowitzki from the Rockies. I would think it would take a lot to get him, but, you know, again, contracts enter into this as well. And as for the Phillies, it looks like Chase Utley's out. So,
Chase Utley's out of what?
Bob, you told me it wouldn't work.
I did.
Chase Utley's not out of anything.
I knew we could waken the giant.
Yes. That was just to see if where Kevin was right
that
at
was
the moment.
Just a test, and only a test.
Chase Utley's not out of anything.
Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Chase Utley's at the start. He's the number three hitter in a few hours, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. I think Chase, it's hard to say what the Phillies are going to do. Everybody is got their favorite ideas to bounce off the public opinion forum, but no one knows.
There are only eight teams out of it right now. There are 22 still in it. So the haves versus have not is very imbalanced. And that's why the lack of movement is not surprising at this particular stage. Now look at Oakland, for example. Oakland's already made its moves. They picked up Hamill, and they picked up Smarja from the Cubs. They've made their moves. Look at the Angels, Houston Street, picking him up. Chase Headley going to the Yankees. I mean, so some moves have already been made. And that's, you know, I'm not sure how many more moves can be made. It doesn't sound like there's a heavy, I mean, the Tigers acquired the closer from the Rangers to go with Joe Nathan. I thought they would have been a prime Jonathan Papelbon candidate. That's not going to happen.
The Marlins were looking at Marlon Byrd. I'm sorry, I keep saying that. The Mariners were looking at Marlon Byrd, but it looks like their interest has waned.
Because they acquired another player, reacquired another player.
An acquisition. Right. And here's the other part of that. Is Cole Hamels is being looked at by several, and the only one really that's able to make a deal, according to most of the experts in Philly, is possibly the Red Sox, because they have some potential players in the farm system that the Phillies would be interested in. And that's what they'd have to get for Cole Hamels is some future players.
Well, Hamels put on a real display yesterday in the Phillies 2-1 win, where he pitched I thought exceedingly well for eight innings. I think
if the Red Sox were to acquire Cole Hamels, that tells you then they don't think that they could re-sign John Lester.
That was the other side of that story. You're right.
That's the part that, you know, falls into place here with that. Other than that, I'm not buying.
Well, you remember when July started, the first guy I said that I thought the Phillies would move would be Jonathan Papelbon. Well, now with a couple of teams that needed closers and got closers now out of the picture, I don't know where he may go at this point.
Philadelphia. All right.
Well, exactly.
Could be.
That's exactly right.
Sorry to answer that question for you, Mr. Wizard.
Yeah. Quick trip.
You're 100% correct.
Yep. Quick trip on the Broad Street line, and he's home.
And you're right back where you started. Yeah. So, at this point, I don't know where the Phillies would be able to find a buyer right now for the players they have to sell.
Probably. All right.
Probably what?
In a cathedral.
In a cathedral, yeah. I see.
Oh, God, please help us.
Yes.
God, please.
Yes.
We're not doing well.
I don't think he can help right now.
Wow. You have a little faith. The new athletic director will be announced tomorrow at Penn State. It'll be announced at noon. Dr. Eric Barron is the one that will make the announcement. There was a committee, of course. They did a good job of keeping it obviously quiet. They will make the announcement tomorrow at Beaver Stadium at noon. Go from there. Dr. Dave Joyner going to step aside officially August 1st, but will stay on board in a capacity to help in the transition for as long as needed. I mean, it's not going to be a case where you come in, hey, yeah, I'll get the job, see you later.
Steve,
I mean, there's always a transition.
Sure.
Why is it that when you're hiring a coach, there's leaks all over the place and all these guys are being interviewed? When you're hiring an athletic director, it didn't seem like anybody was really being talked about as being interviewed.
Well, first of all, it's the summer. Start with that. It's not the end of the season after the bowl season where everybody's engaged in their job and so forth. It's not like basketball season where at the end of March and into early April, everybody is engaged in what's going on in the job. You got people, a lot of reporters in the summertime are on vacation, as an example. A lot of people are on vacation. You also had a search committee that only, I think, had one coach on it, and everybody else was either in admission at Penn State, like Charmel, or Julie DiGiorno, who's the integrity officer, and I think Tom Poole in Old Main. I'm trying to think. Is it Tom? I'm sorry. No, Tom was on the coaches committee. It was David Gray from Old Main, you know, heading it up. Well, these are all people that no one has connections with, right? I mean, no one has connections with David Gray or Charmel Green or Julie DiGiorno. There's no sourcing here
right.
on any of this when it comes to the search committee, because you know when it comes. Committee on football, it's more than that. It's you know agents get involved and so forth and become a source, and that helps out. And you get to something like this, it's a little bit different. You don't really know who the agents are for an athletic director. You don't really know. There was a person on the Penn State beat that really even knows Julie DiGiorno, doesn't know Charmel. Doesn't know David Gray. I mean, they only know the people on the search committee because they don't have everyday contact with them for anything.
I think that you said it back when the search was going on for the new football coach, that agents and even agents of potential coaches who aren't going to be selected throw names out there all the time to the media for all mm-hmm. kinds of reasons. But it's a much different position, and it's a different kind of agent that's going to be involved in this, where you want to have an athletic director who is at least a confidential person, meaning that they're not out showcasing or parading themselves like it's the Westminster Dog Show and they're the lead puppy.
Right.
And so it's a different thing. But, Steve, I was going to say that a couple years ago when Tim Curley stepped aside and then Dave Joyner came in, I met that decision with a huge amount of skepticism. Mm-hmm. And I, like many people that are Penn State fans who follow Penn State closely, I have been so surprised and so satisfied with what Dave Joyner did as athletic director at Penn State. I wouldn't have never bet that I would be uttering those words today. But I am.
Well, look, he helped lead the search for two football coaches, and the first one did extremely well in Bill O'Brien. It was the right man for the right moment. I think he and the committee together, I think, hit a grand slam with James Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he still has to prove it out. I mean, obviously, he hasn't coached a game here yet, but I'm confident that over the years, people are going to be thrilled with this hire, and people have obviously been very, very happy with what he's been able to do on the recruiting trail so far, and then watching him coach in the spring. The guy is really good along with his staff. He's hired a baseball coach that I think is dynamic and can put Penn State baseball to finally get going,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be huge. He's hired a softball coach where we'll see how it's going to play out, but she seems like she knows what she's doing. He locked up Coquies Washington to a 5-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to get new video boards put in at Beaver, which I know they're $10 million. They're ultra expensive, but it's also an investment in the fan base to have a better view of the game and to have a better experience of the game all the way. Well, that was a smart move. He's also been able to, along the way, get the Georgia. Now, the athletics isn't paying for it, but they were able to get Housing and Food Services to redo the roof of the Jordan Center and to get the floor of the Jordan Center redone as well, the concrete floor, because right. there was a sinkhole in it. And so, I mean, there's certain things like that he's been able to do along the way, well, plus, of course, the implementation of the hockey program.
I was going to say the hockey program, opening a new arena, getting a varsity sport from a club sport, all yeah. while this other these distractions, I guess we could call them that, have been going swirling around about him. And I think people, like I said, I'm just really a big supporter. If anybody, you know, would ask me 2 years ago, would you be saying, wow, this guy did a fantastic job? I would have said, I don't think so. But, boy, has he done it. He has won over the skeptics, and he has, I think, also created an environment of, I would say, accountability in some of the sports that were kind of under the radar. He made baseball, softball to be important sports, and they needed to have better coaches apparently than what were there, and he made those choices, which are never pleasant choices to make, but he did it.
Right. So, I mean, there have been for him a lot more accomplishments, I think, when people objectively sit back and look at what he did. There will be people that don't like the circumstances under which this all happened and the fact that he had been a member of the Board of Trustees
yep.
At the time of the vote. And you know, and that's going to be the part that's going to irk people,
yeah.
make them upset, make them angry. And but when you objectively look at what he accomplished as athletic director in a tough spot,
oh.
there's a lot of things that you can talk about that are positives without a doubt.
Well,
all right, we need to take one more break. We'll come back. And Bob and I will sit back and we'll allow Kevin to have five good Indy minutes.
At 5:05. Yeah, I know. That's what's coming up next.
No, I wasn't going to say that. So you don't want to do it? Okay. Wrap it up for the moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
5 months from today.
I'm just planning ahead.
And what do you want for Christmas this year? Tickets to the Summer Olympic Games? What?
IndyCar
pit pass?
No, I had that this year. That was fun. I'm hoping to be able to have another one in Pocono next year.
In all honesty, do you really want to go to Brazil for the Olympic Games? Seriously.
If I had my choice, would I want to go to Brazil or somewhere? No, I'd rather stay in the United States. Yes, I would much rather stay in the United States. But I'm also getting older now, and you know, it's time's running out to maybe see an Olympic Games before I can't go there anymore.
Bob, is Brazil a non-extradition country?
No. For certain crimes, yes.
Bob's been trying to get the Olympics in New Zealand for decades, well, and if he ever does, I've got an opportunity to go that one.
Here's a trivia question for both you, Steve, and Kevin. What important international sporting event, it's one of the biggest in the world, is happening right now?
My guess is it has something to do with rugby.
No, that's going on, but no.
Cricket.
That's also going on.
Cricket was
going
to be my second guess.
The second biggest event outside of the Olympic Games is the Commonwealth Games. And that's the old British Empire.
Yes, it is.
And it's going on right now in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Yeah. And you've never heard of the Commonwealth Games?
I've heard of the Pan Am Games but not the Commonwealth.
You get everybody from New Zealand,
sports?
Australia, India. You get Pakistan, you get all the British Isles, South Africa, et cetera, Jamaica.
That's not on ESPN this weekend.
No, it's not.
It's on CBS Sportsnet.
And what's interesting is...
Seriously?
The New Zealand team is led by Valerie Adams. Valerie is the world champion and two-time gold medalist in the shot put. She has a younger brother who plays for the Oklahoma City NBA team. And he's the second best athlete in the family.
You know, no offense, Bob, but Bob got five good Commonwealth Games minutes, and I didn't even get my IndyCar minutes.
So darn.
Australia, New Zealand, India, Pakistan, Canada.
Yes,
Canada's a part
huge.
Of it too.
Absolutely.
Yes, and it's taking place, I believe, in Glasgow, Scotland.
Yep. Yep, all over the island, etc. But it's fabulous. The Queen was there. Kevin, you missed her again.
Darn.
So it's a huge sporting world.
Was George there?
Oh, Malaysia is in this. I mean, India's. I mean, really, it's very. You've never heard of this?
I mean,
this is like your bag. It's like track and field.
Pan Am games I've heard of, but I didn't hear of this one.
Yep, big time. It's wonderful sports, and I've been watching and following it.